here in the New Rajadhan, where it's very, very hot, and today is supposed to be raining and cooling down, and it looks like that. There's clouds on the horizon. They've yet to cover the sun, but they're coming from the other side, from the westerly side. Budapest was also extremely hot all the way since the day after Rath Yatra. Rath Yatra was beautiful. It wasn't too warm, but it's been in the mid-30s ever since then. And we're hoping that it'll cool down a little, particularly here in New Rajadhan, where even an electrical fan is a luxury, what to speak of. There's no such thing as air conditioning. And I wanted to just mention a few notable festival days that I've not mentioned. Last week, Sunday, was Gopabhatta Goswami's disappearance day. Devotees who've been to Radharaman Mandir will know that Gopabhatta Goswami's samadhi is at the back of the temple. Actually, it's off, entrance is off the street. The street that goes towards Keshigat, past the Vamsi Gopal temple, where Srila Prabhupada used to live, Gopal Bhatta Goswami's samadhi is there. And being the nephew of Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, he's also of South Indian Brahmin stock, indeed from Venkatabhatta, where the pujaris of Rangaji, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, met Gopal Bhatta Goswami when he first visited Rangaji temple. At that time he was a little boy, and he used to come and massage Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. In writing Navavraja Mahima, I had read that when Lokanath Goswami was living in Kamyavan, then Gopal Bhatta Goswami, when he first came from South India to Vrindavan, he came and met Lokanath Das there, and from there then they came to Vrindavan. And of course there's the wonderful story of how Gopal Bhatta Goswami prayed to have a deity, just like the other Goswamis all had deities. Govindaji had appeared to Rupa Goswami, and so finally out of a shalagram appeared Radharamanji, who's still being worshipped in Vrindavan, and whose standard of deity worship is considered to be exemplary. I was just speaking about that recently with Srinya Kavacha Prabhu, and he was here. He's left. You heard some of the discussions that we had about deity worship. There were many others which were really, really lengthy, and so I didn't include them on the podcast. And simultaneously they were being translated as well. We had one 3-hour long meeting, but Srila Prabhupada had wanted devotees to study the standard of worship of Radharamanji as being one that ISKCON's deity worship should follow. And as an example, for instance, the original fire which Gopal Bhatta Prabhu lit in order to install Radharaman, that is the same fire which they're cooking at the same time, at the present time, excuse me. And so let's remember Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who is our Smriti Acharya. He's also involved in Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is attributed mostly to Śrīla Sanātana Goswami. And he's responsible and inspiration for devotees to actually follow the rules of regulated devotional service in order to purify their hearts and ultimately come to the platform of spontaneous service. And Wednesday, the 15th, was the disappearance day of Lokanath Goswami, who is also a associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of the first devotees, along with Bhugarbha Goswami, who went to Sri Vrindavan Dham even before the six Goswamis had gone there. And we know him as being the spiritual master of Narottam Das Thakur, as the person who wouldn't accept any disciples. He was just constantly engaged in living in extremely austere circumstances in the bushes of Vrindavan, within his mind, engaging in service to Radha Krishna. But somehow or another, Narottam Das Thakur, at the request of Jiva Goswami, induced him to accept him as his only disciple. And so Lokanath Goswami is for us really an emblem of supreme renunciation, as well as real humility, someone who really doesn't even think that he's qualified to accept disciples, despite the fact that he's situated on the topmost platform of pure devotional service, Manjulali Manjari. We should offer our obeisances to him, at least within our minds. His samadhi is there in the temple of Radhagokula Nanda. And he worshipped those deities sometimes with the assistance of Narottam Das Thakur. Then on the following day was the incorporation of ISKCON in New York. That was a really historic event, 1967, 32 years ago, a long time ago, in which Srila Prabhupada laid out the real foundation for what he envisaged to be his International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada made it clear it was for Krishna consciousness, not for God consciousness, and that it was an international society. He gave really the seven constitutional principles for that society, which devotees as individuals, as well as ISKCON as an institution, needs to evaluate performance. How are we performing as devotees? How are we performing as ISKCON? Are we reaching the goals that Srila Prabhupada set for the society, that Srila Prabhupada set for us as Vaishnavas? If so, how can we even surpass them? If not, then what are we doing wrong and how can we do it better? One thing that comes to mind, which I've heard my godbrothers say, is that at least after 32 years, if nothing else, but there are other things, but that's just a way of speaking, we're still here as one society, one institution, under the authority of the governing body, commission, and trying our best to fulfill the mission that Srila Prabhupada laid down. Something that I often emphasize to devotees is that Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON, is not someone else's guru, someone else's institution. For someone who really wants to make their spiritual life successful, they need to connect with Srila Prabhupada, connect with him as the founder acharya of this movement, as the shiksha guru of all of his followers, and take to heart Prabhupada's instruction, example of what it means to actually fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Being a member of ISKCON, in my mind, means taking responsibility for ISKCON, not simply expecting certain rights from a, relatively speaking, fledgling society. Not a long time. Well, yes, not 32 years, 42 years. Not a long time. Consider in comparison to, for instance, Christianity's over 2,000 years of existence and the type of instability and adventures that Christians and actually Christianity went through before it became what it is now, a world religion. And whereas we'd like things to happen faster, because Srila Prabhupada wanted things to happen really, really fast, but at the same time we see that the reality is that patience will have to persevere. We will have to continue to be patient and make systematic steps forward one by one to become what Srila Prabhupada wanted this society to become, in the same way as we're making that type of steps to become the type of devotees that Srila Prabhupada actually wanted us to become, pure devotees. And however both difficult both of those tasks are, becoming both a pure devotee and realizing the mission of this institution, at least my personal reaction is that I'm happy that I made the choice I did to join ISKCON, to follow in the footsteps of Vaishnavas, and even knowing what I know now, that things don't happen overnight, the world doesn't fall at your feet just because you've got the answers to all of the questions of humanity, and that your material desires don't just vanish overnight just because you wanted them to. Still, I would do what I did back in 1973 and commit myself to the society even though the reality of spreading Krishna consciousness and being a devotee are quite a bit different than the vision of a super enthusiastic new bhakta. Well, it's Ekadasi. Today we're just taking fruit. And we'll be in touch again with everyone tomorrow. Hare Krishna.